The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Schmo Zone podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Jazzwares. Check this out. These are 6-inch action figures, UFC action figures. They're true-to-life tattoos. They're accurate, lightweight body types, realistic facial expressions. Each set has two sets of removable hands with UFC gloves. Check this out. This Max Holloway one, they even have the UFC championship belt. Donald Cowboy Cerrone, you got the U.S. flag, you got the removable hat. This is good stuff. They're collectibles. You can get them online at Amazon. You can go to your nearest Walmart and purchase these. This is the 2020 International Series. It's a limited edition. Go ahead and get these. They're collectible. Jazzwares. Check them out. And today's podcast is also brought to you by Fusion CBD Products. We have our Fusion CBD Sports Water. Drink it after the workouts, which usually happen before the podcast. They have their tinctures. They have their CBD Cool Relief Rub. They have their sleep and recovery pills. They have their energy and focus. Love this stuff. Implement it into the routine. FusionCBDProducts.com. Use the promo code SCHMO. Get 20% off. Start the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Schmo Zone podcast, episode 36. I'm Dave Schmolensen, aka The Schmo. My co-host is
Helen Yee Sports.
And today's guest is one of the baddest people on the planet, not just male and female. She's absolutely amazing. She is the UFC Women's Flyweight Champion of the World, Bullet Valentina Shevchenko in the flesh. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm very feeling good to be here today, especially just straight after training. We did training at UFC PI like early this morning. It was about like 2-3 hour session, and now I'm here.
One quick thing I have to say, because I'm a little bummed, because we're just doing the ad reads for Jazzwares. They sent us all the action figures, but they didn't send us Valentina Shevchenko, the flyweight champ.
It's not good. Not good at all. No.
We're going to send them a letter.
Well, I told them, because this was a limited edition series, the next one, the Bullet Valentina, you're there.
It's got to
be there. Have the real life action figures and compare the two, because those details were so amazingly realistic and can only imagine what they do with yours.
I will check all my tattoos. Should be there, right?
We really appreciate you joining the show. And, you know, it's very, very fitting after what we just saw over the weekend in Fight Island. UFC Fight Island 4, I believe, Fight Night. Mm-hmm. Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana.
Irene Aldana, yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of her performance?
I think it was good fight, and you know, like everyone's saying, like Jermaine, Holly Holm, we are not expecting that ground game from them, something like that. But I was thinking, why not? It's MMA. They're for so long in mixed martial arts, and are you thinking they're coming to the training and working on their striking? That's it? No, they're training on MMA, they're training ground, they're training everything. And it's obviously that they're gonna use it, right? That's why I think it was like very good fight from everyone. All three girls, three pairs of girls, it was amazing fight. And I really enjoyed it.
Let me ask you this. Whose performance was more impressive to you, Holly Holm's or GDR's?
Oh, it was different fights like different opponents, different purpose, and I don't want to have just one fight in front of other one, because Holly Holm, it was like 5 round total domination. There is no doubt, nothing. In Germain, Juliana Peña, it was like all the way to Juliana Peña fight, and just one quick, like some scenes that, because of course Germain, she has long arms, and probably Juliana didn't think that it's gonna happen, actually happen, and it was third round, she wanted this takedown, that's why it's like was affecting. So it's two different fights, two different, that's why for me it's every fight has their own emotion.
Two different fights, and one was a 5-round fight, one was a 3-round fight. But the reason why I ask is because there's no slam dunk which one of those two will be facing the champ, Amanda Nunes. And now the decision makers, Dana White, Sean Shelby, Vic Maynard, they're going to have to decide who will fight her next. That's why I ask you, is there one that you think is more deserving? Maybe those two need to fight each other if Amanda wants some time out because she's expecting the child added to their family.
And when they first fought, Holly and GDR, wasn't there some controversy as
well? Oh, yeah, it was a very controversial fight. And as it plain right now, what I see, Amanda, she will fight, she will defend her belt in 145, and obviously she will want time like to recover, to have another training camp for 135. And I don't think that Holly Holm or Germain, they will want to wait that long time. Probably, I don't know, maybe they will fight again each other. But as you are saying very right, Dana White, Mick Maynard there, who are taking decisions, right?
Mick Maynard, yeah. Yeah, that was my big takeaway, is what to do next. But I think that is a great solution, having Holly face GDR again. And I think the winner of that right away for that title shot again.
I think it would be a good fight, great fight. Yeah, Holly Holm, she shows that her like complete game. Germain, same scene. And it would be like very good matchup, I think.
Who do you think would win that rematch?
In the last fight, I had Holly Holm winning that fight.
Okay.
So I saw her winning that fight. But I don't know. Every fight is like unique. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. We're sitting here with the number 3 pound for pound women's fighter in the entire world. When I looked at the pound for pound rankings, I saw two people in front of you. I saw Amanda Nunes in front of you, and I also saw Wiley Zhang. But I'm like thinking to myself, how do they determine who's one, who's two, who's three? We know your track record. We know who you've beat. We know who you've lost to. You look pretty invincible, especially on your last few title defenses. And as you know, in this game, you're only as good as your last fight. You're only as good as your next fight. And you look pretty indestructible in your fights.
Yeah, this is what I'm like every time my mind said for the next title defense, next fight, it's be better than I was before. And that's why when I'm training, I put everything in that. I don't think like if I am champion, so everybody will come to the octagon and say, okay, I'm not going to fight. No, I'm not expecting like that something. I know they're going to come with all their power, and that's why I'm coming with all my power.
Now, is your motivation and your hunger the same going into every fight?
I would say yes. And you know, it's like having right people in your team, having right mindset before the fight, this is what make you feel the same feeling as you felt before. Of course, when, for example, you are successful and everyone's starting to say, oh, you are invincible, no one can beat you. And if you starting to believe it, oh, yeah, you are done. But if you understand the real life, how it's work, if you stop to work, if you stop to put hard work in your training, you are done. If you are not stopping and every time pushing you to the limits, then you are good. And I want to be the one who is pushing every time to the limits.
That's such a great mindset.
Yeah.
And that leads up to your fight, UFC 255.
Next month?
Next month, November 21st, against Jennifer Maia. I'm shocked, though. You're such a world traveler. I'm shocked that you're not fighting on Fight Island.
That's true.
Why aren't you fighting on Fight Island? Were you just not offered that? Did you want to fight at Fight Island?
Because there is no fights in November in Fight Island.
Well, I know, because this your title defense was originally supposed to be in Perth, Australia. And I know, obviously, we had the global pandemic, and then there's some injuries, so everything got pushed back. So we're here in November, where you're fighting on the same fight card as your sister, Antonina, which we'll get to. But what I find so fascinating about your matchup against Jennifer, it wasn't supposed to be Jennifer initially.
Exactly.
It was supposed to be Joanne Calderwood, who fought someone who was ranked underneath her, and she took that fight at UFC Vegas 5 right over here at the Apex, and she lost the fight. Were you surprised that she lost the fight, or how she lost the fight to Jennifer?
I didn't expect anything from that fight. I didn't like watch it like, oh, it should be like that. I just watched it. And I was really understanding that everything can happen. And probably I can have another opponent. And we could see that I have another opponent right now.
When we spoke to you last month, you mentioned that you could tell that Joanne, like, she wasn't 100% there mentally, like something was a little off.
This is my opinion. Mm-hmm. This is what I saw. It can be true, it can be something, no, but this is what I saw and what I think about the fight. But a few days ago, I rewatched that fight again, and I saw that just Jennifer Maia, she was really concentrated on this fight. So she, when she walked into the octagon, her eyes was like totally, I need this victory. I need that. And of course, when she had her chance to finish the fight, she just used it. And there is I would do the same, right? If I have my armbar, I will like to pull it. I think it's going to be a very good fight because Jennifer, she's a strong fighter. She's a technical fighter, physically strong as well. And I hope she will be the same conditions that she was, because I don't want less.
And how does the training camp now, if anything, differ from what you had before? Because this is the first time in the UFC that you're fighting on the same fight card as your sister, Antonina. And we talked about that last month, too. Both Helen and I brought that up in our interviews with you, or I guess the schmo did and Helen did. But does your training differ a little bit? Is it more concentrated? Is there any different types of focuses because you two are on the exact same fight card, fighting on the exact same night?
From the long time ago, every time was training with Antonina. Doesn't matter who is fighting where, we was doing our training camp every time together. And we had two or three times when we fought with 1 week difference, and it's pretty the same. It's like all training camp together. So it's basically same thing, right? But the only one thing, the difference that I had to see how my recovery go, right? And wait before I can do 100% of sparring on everything. I'm already weeks ago at this moment when I do everything as it was before the injury. So everything fine, everything good, everything as it should be. And we are 7 weeks out from the fight. It's still so long time.
I know. I feel like it was booked very far out.
Yeah, it was. I never had this situation when it booked that way far out from the actual date fight. And every time it was okay, are you fighting in a month? Okay. Are you fighting in 2 weeks? Okay, I will. Let's do it. And now I have I had 4 or 5 months for my preparation. It's something different, I would say, because when you receive a notice of the fight, you are straight. You're like, you're starting to burn from the inside. You want to like rush. You want to hit harder. But here it's no. You have so long time. You have to know exactly how your process of training gonna be. And sometimes my coach, Pavel, he's like doing everything as it should be. And I'm like, no, we have to do this. We have to do that. He said, okay, calm down. This is not time yet. We will do everything this. Because if we're gonna do it right now for the date of the fight, you will be so tired and like thinking like, I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want it to happen. That's why I totally trust everything to Pavel, how he's leading the process of my preparation for the fight. And I just do my job. I'm just trained.
Yeah, and I know we just talked about like someone like Israel Adesanya, who's now fought 100 professional fights and everything, 100 fights, but you're someone with your Muay Thai background, your amateur background, and everything. You've had so much fight experience in your
more
career.
More than 500.
More than 500.
Yep.
See, that no one's brought that up. Now we are.
Valentina, we need a plaque or something.
Over 500, yeah. So you have all that experience, and you just had this injury, and now you're able to wait till you're 100% recovered to finally train and to understand where you are at your age and your body in your early 30s and where you are as a champion.
There is no age yet.
There's no age yet.
There
right.
is no age. You there see, is just a body.
It's just a body. And you know how to train and fine tool this machine to get yourself prepared both mentally and physically for that moment inside the cage.
Yes, yes, it's true. It's very true. And I'm just like, every single training, every single day, I try to listen my body, what it's saying, when I have to push it more, when I have to slow down a little bit. And of course, the like training process, it's from inside fighters, like any person can feel different, right? Even like on the training, sometimes I feel in me like slow or doing like very slow. But then I'm look back the video if someone filmed like that training and it's not as slow. And I ask in Pavel like how it looks like, because it's like my feeling inside it's different, but he's saying no, everything fine, everything like as it should be, and you are on point with your reactions, with everything. That's why I'm saying that what you feel inside, it's not every time the truth. Yeah.
Well, would you credit that to your longevity of having over 500 fights and, like what David mentioned, keeping your body so healthy and always so sharp?
Yes, I would say I'm in martial arts 27 years already.
It's amazing.
And someone is still having like 20 years there fighting. I already fighting for 27 years, right? It's, yeah. The major part about the injuries and everything, like we are in dangerous sport. Sometimes you cannot just avoid it. Sometimes it's happen, but you can do as much protection during the training as you can. For example, I'm not the one who like come into the training and say, oh no, I want to show my toughness. I want to use the helmet. I want to use shin guards. I want to use everything. So I want to show someone, I don't know who, my toughness. I'm not this person. No, not at all. I know where I have to show my toughness exactly. It's in Octagon. It's like right now it's 21st of November. And I know exactly before this moment, I have to be very careful with everything what I'm doing. Training, dieting, walking, thinking, what I'm watching, everything.
And I know you've lived in many places around this globe. You've lived in Thailand. You've trained in Thailand. You've trained in Houston. You live right now here in Las Vegas, where you have access to the UFC PI and all the tools here. Would you say it's a big advantage as a fighter living this close to the UFC with all the tools and resources they have available to you with their own performance institute?
Of course, definitely, yes. It's like, it's the best whatever could happen with me. To train in youth CPI, to have a physical therapy, a nutritionist, all of this stuff, it's so amazing that you can just focus on your training. You don't have to think anymore about nothing, just training. And it's amazing. I'm so like thankful that I'm like we are here right now at Youth CPI in Las Vegas. So I just like living my life and trying to be as much grateful as I can.
Slowly, we're noticing a lot more fighters.
Oh my gosh!
To Las Vegas
it's a bet. It's a bet. Here, I know. It's too hot. No, don't come.
That's what I'm trying to tell.
It's, it's so funny. But we see it. We see it.
Like people moving from California. I'm like, go back.
Or New York. Hint, hint. I'm Jermaine Stern. We see it. We know. We're aware
of it. It's very hard. It's hard. It's impossible to live here. No.
Real quick, I did want to get your thoughts. At UFC 254, the likely winner of this bout would be fighting the winner of your bout for the championship.
True. You read my mind.
Cynthia Calvia and Lauren Murphy. They're fighting over there at Fight Island on the Khabib and Justin Gaethje card.
I didn't think about it, right?
Yeah, well, I know you're going to pay attention and watch. Cynthia is someone who was at strawweight, and mm-hmm. she moved up. She fought opponent that you beat in Jessica I, mm-hmm. and then she's been kind of on this roll here, and she's kind of climbing the ranks and into this flyweight division. How do you see that fight going about? Maybe we just startled you with that news right there. But
It's... I was totally focused on my fight, on my upcoming fight that I never thought that it's going to happen October 24th, right? But yes, I knew that they're going to fight. But what I can say, it's going to be good fight, very good fight, because I see Lauren Murphy very tough, and definitely she is someone bigger. Yeah, she fought in 135. Then she went down, and Cynthia did like the other part from the smaller to the higher weight class. That's why I think the physical advantage is going to be more on Lauren Murphy's side. But it's not about physical advantage, everything. Also, technical thing and who was faster, who did like the reaction better, or on defending takedowns or something like that. I don't know. I think it's going to be a very good fight. A lot of wrestling, I would say, over there. And I would say it's going to be not that technical fight, but kind of like dirty fight when it's like a lot of clinching, wrestling and everything. And here, what's going to be more important, it's who has more physical power. So a little bit, once more time, I don't want to say exactly, but I think it's going to be on the side of Lauren Murphy.
That's a good assessment.
That's amazing.
Really, really good assessment.
You're great at this.
I could totally see them in clinch work, some mm-hmm. dirty boxing, and then it's going to go to who would be the physically mm-hmm. stronger person, and one's going down from a weight. At one point, one's going up to a weight. I could see that.
But anyway, we cannot just forget about some just unexpected submission, what Jermaine just showed us, like very unexpected submission. So we cannot forget about it. So everything still the chance of everything can
happen.
That's
why we fight, right?
Yeah.
That's why we fight.
True.
Well, I would also love to get your assessment on Zhang Weili and Rose. They're projected to fight next. Not sure of the exact date yet, but I would love to just kind of hear what you think of that matchup.
I know Rose. I trained with her, like, and I would say if Rose gonna be in the same physical and mental condition, what I know her, she gonna win. She gonna win easy. Yeah.
Easy.
Not that easy, but she's gonna win, because Weili, she's tough as well, and she don't want to lose, right? She's gonna prepare. Not that easy. Not easy, but she's gonna win.
Have you seen those two in person and their size wise?
Both. Yes.
Do you think one is a bigger girl than the other girl?
So Rose, she's taller, mm-hmm. but skinner, but doesn't mean not strong. doesn't mean at all, because you could see with Israel,
right? I was just about to say that, yeah.
it's typical Muay Thai fighters. They are like from Thailand. They are skinny. You see at them, it's like, where do they get that power? But they, when they start to work in clinch, it's like totally different. And, you know, being that big with muscle, and it doesn't mean that they are strong.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, like, look at fighters like Sean O'Malley, Kevin Holland, mm-hmm. Israel. Like you said, it's like they're not the girthiest people in the
even
world.
Even John Jones.
John Jones, exactly. But their length and how they use their ligaments, you know, their elbows, their hands, their knees, their legs, everything.
Natural physical power, it's not depends on how many muscle do you have. If your body, it's like naturally have this relief, this like things, this like on the body, all the abdomen and arms, it's fine, it's natural. But if you are trying to have it like doing a lot of iron and heavy weights like lifting or whatever, I don't see that it's gonna help you in the fight.
What kind of weightlifting or strength and conditioning training do you do, if any, for your fighting?
Oh, you know, I use every time for everything just one weight. It's my training partner for everything.
So no weightlifting at all? Wow. No Olympic lifts? No.
No, I don't use heavy
naturally
weights.
Naturally talented.
No, I don't use anything of lift weighting, like nothing of this. Yes, and what I can do is I just like sometimes do with, I forget the word. When you are like punching with like this stretching thing.
Gotcha. Oh, like bands.
Like bands.
Band work.
Exactly. Bands. Or sometimes when we are training on the nature, we just take stones.
Yep.
And do shadow boxing with stones. So it's like doing your grip.
Yep.
Stronger, and also like weight for your...
You ever use those egg weights? Those egg weights?
No. You know, yes, it's very comfortable to use it. This is what I want to avoid. Comfortable things during my training.
I love that mindset.
Interesting. So something that's not a natural thing.
I didn't say it.
Okay.
Don't worry, it's
please
not on.
Cut it.
Well, you're very kind person, and I know you're a martial artist, you don't partake in the trash talking as much, but I had to ask you, who's been the best trash talker you've ever confronted so far in your career? Anyone jawing wise that you know, I'm not saying they get to your head, clearly it hasn't really gone to your head, but is there anyone that stands out as a trash talker?
You mean male, female, doesn't matter who, or just like my opponents?
I'd rather focus on your opponents, because I'm not going to sit here and talk Henry Cejudo for the intergender championship over here.
That was funny.
It's hard to say, but I think female fighters, they are not that good in trash talking at like in general than male fighters. I don't know. It's just probably the nature, female nature. It doesn't look good when she's starting to say like bad, brutal things, like crazy things, something like that. I don't know. And I didn't see. I see more female fighters. They're way more respectful to each other. And if we do some trash talk, it's like kind of very on a line. It's like it's still a trash talk, but same way it's kind of respectful. It's like very thin lines that we are trying to control and not pass this line. This is what I see.
Well, what about post-fight celebrations, just like in general? I know you have a great one. I love it. You're a great dancer. But for example, like everyone's talking about Israel and what he did after he beat Paulo. What did you make of that?
I don't know. I didn't follow the history before the fight. And what I assume, if he did something like that, it's probably before the fight was a lot trash talking from Paulo Costa. And he just like, okay, you wanted it, take it. So I don't know. I don't know what it was before the fight, but I think if someone does things like that, it's because someone
provoked it.
Bad things before.
Oh, so the tick for tat type scenario there. Transitioning to this, because I checked again. I'm always checking the rankings. I don't know why. I don't know who makes them. I just check them. Still, to this date, to this very second, there are no rankings for the female featherweight division. Is this even a legit division in the UFC?
I would say if there is still fights defending belts, it's still, we can say it's a weight class. Yeah, because there is no ranking there. There is no 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like, girls we can see. But there is a fight there, definitely.
And there's a champion.
Yes. So probably, yes, this is a weight class. The weight class that deserves attention.
Well, you've been very dominant in your weight class, the flyweight division. For your legacy, do you see yourself retiring, you know, in the flyweight division, or do you see yourself ever going back to bantamweight for any challenge or fight?
First, I don't see me retiring ever.
Okay, sorry about that.
You can't use the R word around her.
No, but I didn't mean like anytime soon. I just meant like, you know, 50 years from now.
There is only one reason if I could come back to the bantamweight. There is only one person.
I was going to get to that.
What can make me do this step?
You are the only one that we looked at when we look at fights. You're the only one that gives her the run for the money. And it's been so close in both times that you faced her. And you are someone I know that you have to avenge the loss. Liz Carmouche. I mean, that's it. It's your only two losses. The only two people you've lost to, Liz and Amanda, you've avenged the loss against Liz. Man, you're not going to give us the blueprint to beat her, but do you feel like you have to face her again before it's all said and done? You have to do this fight again.
I see it like right now, flyweight division, it's my, like, where is I am right now. This is what, where I want to compete, what I want at this moment, because I really was waiting a lot for this weight class, right? And like my physical, like everything, I'm not even the tallest one in my weight class, flyweight. And I just feel good that finally I have this opportunity to fight in flyweight. And about Amanda, I think it's, as I every time saying, I see it happening. I see it happening sometimes. I know that Dana, he was saying that kind of not now, not right like at this moment, but I feel the same. I feel the same. Not tomorrow, not next month, not this year, but it's going to happen.
And Dana calls her the GOAT. The GOAT, I guess, the greatest women of all time. You know, like having that type of label and with her accolades, I feel like knowing you and your competitiveness, that's what you want. That's what you're chasing for. You know, you're chasing not, you're not in this sport to partake. You're in it to be the best.
You know, the thing I see that I will build up my name. I will do everything that I have to do, train, win the fight, show all my skills. And when time, the right time comes, I think everyone would understand this is a fight to make happen. If there is some thought that like someone thinks probably it's not the time, so probably it's not the time. But when the times come, everyone will see that this is the time.
I want to ask you about the growth of women's MMA. You know, this sport, it's the fastest growing sport in the world. You know, we have this global pandemic. All the other sports leagues shut down. Dana White's the first to bring back sports to the world, and we've had fights every single week. What would you tell all the girls out there that are aspiring to be like you or aspiring to get into MMA, to train and everything like that, to bring that next evolution of mixed martial arts to women?
First of all, I would say that everything about UFC that's happening right now, the Dana White work, it's so amazing.
Amazing.
Keep everyone like doing their jobs, make fans like still be very with a lot of attention, fighters to have paid, to do what they love, to train and the fight. It's amazing. And if I wouldn't be like injured during this time, I would fight every month. Definitely fight Island, definitely here, but it's happened what it's happened. And I just wait my comeback on November 21st. And definitely all female fighters, what I see at this moment in the world, it's like so impressive. It's everything that I like inside of me. I every time wanted like this is a moment for female sport, mixed martial sport, that there is like no one's thinking other things. They are like same man, same woman. We are all equal in this sport, and this is amazing. In the highest league, in the top league of mixed martial arts, UFC, we are equal, men and women.
It's not a WNBA and an NBA. It's female fighters headlining UFC fight nights. They are main events, co-main events for pay-per-views. There is an equilibrium here. The best fighters fight, whether you're male or female, and that's where you're positioned.
Yes, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's like, you know, living this life at this moment, it's so, I don't know, I just cannot express what I feel inside, because it's, I know there is still some countries where like female fighters, they feel so much difference, right? But it's not here. It's not in UFC.
But what would you say would be the next evolution for female fighters? Like, we talk about the featherweight division, there's just no rankings right now, but inevitably there will be rankings, right? What is the next evolution to get more and more females to participate in this sport?
I think the same. Let's say the same what we are doing right now, all female fighters, not just like few names, but everyone who ever, like at least one time, stepped into the octagon and they feel this like passion to the martial arts, definitely they like show this passion to everyone and they bring more girls. And if you can see in any gyms who train, how many girls train right now, like new generation, like 15 years old, 12 years old, of course they're gonna be beasts by the time they're gonna fight in the like professional fights.
I know the traditional mindset too among fighting was having like a wrestling base, a wrestling background, and then going into the other disciplines. Obviously, that's not necessarily the case with you. You've evolved over time. Is there a specific discipline you would tell a five-year-old or you wish you would have done back in, I mean, there's hard to wish for you because your accolades speak for themselves. You're the champ. But would you say there's specific disciplines you would recommend to girls just starting off? 5 might be too young, could be 10, could be 15 years old if they're starting later.
You know, this like train wrestling, train boxing, and like all separate, it was so long time ago, 20 years ago. Yeah. We had like mixed martial arts scene, like fights. Okay, this is wrestler against striker or whatever, right? But there is not anymore happening these things. MMA, it's sport. It's complete sport that required training of mixed martial arts, training of MMA. There is not only you are training wrestling and then adding boxing. No, you have to start with mixed martial arts. And now everyone, all fighters do these things. They're not training something like separate. They're training all together because this is a style. This is like we have Muay Thai, like we have wrestling, like we have judo, like we have boxing, we have MMA. And everyone who want to be dominant in mixed martial arts has to start to train MMA, not like separate things. It's together.
Well, do you think MMA should be added to the Olympics?
You know, I feel that UFC, MMA, it's self-sufficient sport. It doesn't have to be added to the Olympic because Olympic system is different. It's different lifestyle, different work, different mindset. Everything is different. But if you are saying about like this competition, what UFC has, right? This professional, when they are discover the character of each fighter, individual fighter, this is unique. And I would like to see it in the future as well. I don't want to join like mixed martial arts to join, for example, Olympic Games, but probably some other federation could join, right? But it won't be the same. It won't be the same competition what we are looking right now because it's unique. It's so big. It's even bigger than, like, if you are speaking about UFC, it's even bigger than Olympic Games.
Yeah, and then if you put the UFC or MMA, rather, in the Olympics, you have to take something out. And then the question is going to be, what are you going to take out? And that makes it that way. But no, that's such a great, great assessment of mm-hmm. that. And you're right. It is kind of a sport where it's standing by itself. And
it already has like the world's best
yes.
athletes.
Yes, it's true. The best ones.
Yeah, you get fighters from all over. That's why they're at Fight Island right now, because they can bring in the competition from all
fighters.
Over the world that they can't necessarily get their visas mm-hmm. and come into the United States. Valentina, we really, really appreciate you hopping on the Schmo Zone. Do you have anything that you want to tell all the fans out there? Any final message to leave the show on?
Just as usual is every time to say thank you very much. It's like for every single word, for every support that you're giving me, it's like my biggest motivation, I would say, yeah, to know that someone look up to me and wait in my victory. Of course, there is other people who wait in something else, but I don't like that people because there is only victory for me. There is only victory. And it was every time. So for me, my mindset, it's not participation in the fight. I'm not here to have fun, to enjoy the fight. No, I'm here to win and show and everything. Not boring fight, but good technical fight to show that female athletes, they have everything.
And we know you are someone with so many hobbies. We know that your target shooting is absolutely amazing. We've seen the videos. We know you love to do a lot of adventurous things. We're still waiting for you to get your pilot license like your sister, Antonina, who's
congrats
not here.
To
congrats
her.
To her getting her black belt equivalent in her license as being a pilot, a professional pilot now.
You know, she became a private pilot about a year ago, and like few days ago she has her exam, her mock check ride for instrumental rating. And instrumental rating, it's the hardest one to get in whole aviation, and I could tell why. Seeing her doing like her daily routine, she's coming to the training, like having lunch, and then she disappears. She went go like to study, to the class, or to her like room, and she has like a lot of books like this big and everything. She just like learning. Then other day she go fly, then learning, and it was not just like few weeks, few days, for months. She did like exactly same thing, studying, flying, training. And when she like had this big like receiving achievement, right, her like instrument, to get her instrumental rating, I asked her, now you can breathe, now you can relax a little bit. She has, Yes.
Now she could focus on her fight.
Oh no! Yes, of course. It's definitely. I didn't want to say that she was not focusing on her training of martial arts. She were doing the same, but she were training in the morning and the rest of the day doing the
multitasking, yeah. Which is something you know well about in the Shevchenko household. It's
multi-talented sisters.
Any final thoughts, Ellen? Beautiful red dress today.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming on our show. We can't wait to watch you UFC 255 against Jennifer Maia.
Yes, me too. And yeah, still a lot of trainings going forward, still a lot of preparation. And definitely I will be in my best shape and do everything as I have to do to win the fight. Yep.
And we'll have your Jazzwares UFC doll next time.
We have to. Yes. We have to.
The Schmo Zone, episode 36. We are out.